Just before I start, I just want to honour Pastor Stephen and Anami, and I just thank them for the privilege to be able to close this series off on prayer. Prayer is something that I'm very passionate about, and it's been really with me for 4 decades, and I'm still learning more and more about prayer as I go. Look, I just really sense the Spirit of God is going to touch some people this morning. And I just really want you to just lean forward and have an expectation within your heart and within your spirit that God is going to touch you or break something off you this morning, especially in the form of mindsets. You know, I read this quote a week or so ago, and I wrote it down. I've been just thinking about it, just the way that it was said. And it was this, it said that... I've been meditating on it, but no, it said that expectation is the substance of our faith. If I don't have any expectation, then faith has nothing to work with. So we need expectation that God is going to do something and move within our lives. We need expectation when we go and we pray that God is going to hear our prayers. If we don't expect anything, it will just be like a routine. If we don't expect anything when we come to church, we don't get anything. You have to have an expectation in your heart. I remember a season in my life as a young Christian, and God was moving. And it was like when I came to church, there was an expectation in my heart all the time that God was going to say something or do something through me. And it was just a season of that. And sometimes, like, seasons come and seasons go. But if we keep hold of an expectation that God is still doing something in my life, that I'm expecting God to move, that I'm expecting God to use me. If I don't have that, then I'm like everyone else. And especially for prayer, if I go and pray, I have to have that expectation that God, I'm going to meet with God. So that's just a... So we're finishing the last part of the lifestyle of prayer. And if you haven't listened to the first part or the second part, which Pastor Stephen did, I'd really encourage you to listen to it, for it is very good. So I'm going to finish the last part today in the lifestyle of prayer. And really I'm going to focus on how do I build a strong prayer life. And how do I carry the fire? Well, how do I stir the fire up in me to do this? I remember when I was a child, I think I was between the ages of 6 and 8, and this was my first experience with prayer. I was told that I had to memorize the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, that was at the time, I felt, well, gosh, how am I going to remember this? But I had the motivation, because if I didn't remember it within a month, there'd be no pudding or dessert. That was it, and because we all always had dessert. So I remembered the prayer, and then I'd have to go and every night kneel beside my bed. And my dad was with me, or my mother, and they used to have to hear me say the Lord's Prayer. I'd say the Lord's Prayer, and then I was fine. And then I'd be into bed. So it was just saying the Lord's Prayer. But I didn't really realize or know the connotations of doing that. But one thing that probably it sort of really... As I was thinking about that, when I was praying, I thought that if I didn't pray, then the next day God was going to do something bad for me. So this really formed the wrong interpretation of how I thought about God. I wasn't a Christian. I was just learning. And so I thought that if I didn't pray, well, bad things would happen. But if I did pray, I'd be okay. So I'd make sure I'd rattle that prayer off every night. But there's a lot more than just rattling a prayer off. And when you actually break that prayer down, you find that there's several steps in there that God teaches us how to pray. And it wasn't until I became a Christian that I discovered that and realized that this was, you know, the disciples were asking Jesus, how should I pray? And he gave them the instructions of how to do that. And we spoke, you know, when we pray. Pastor Stephen has spoken a little bit about that. So sustaining a long prayer life, how to keep going, it's really the key to a victorious life. And really the first step, or one of the first things you need to do, is separate yourselves to pray. Jesus did that. In Luke 5:16, it says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Mark 1:35 says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And in Mark 6, which we haven't, he departed to the mountain to pray. He sent his disciples away and he departed to the mountain to pray. So what's that saying to me? Is that I need to find a place, a solitary place, a place that I will always go to meet with him. It may be in a room. I know some people have prayer closets. But most of the houses that I've ever lived in, the closets were that small and so full of clothes I couldn't even fit in. So I normally would pick a room that I wasn't any, there were, it was like a spare room. Call it the spare room. I'll call it the prayer room. And so that's where I started as a young Christian, to learn how to pray and seek God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you will reward you openly. You know, when I was a young Christian, I was a little bit terrified of prayer meetings because I didn't feel like I could really pray. And there were some people there that would pray, and I thought they prayed the whole Bible. They knew just so much, and it went on and on and on and on, and I just found it quite intimidating. This person seems to know so much, yet I don't know anything at all. But no, you can know all the Bible, you can speak all that out, but if you don't know the Father, if you haven't sought him in the secret place, there's no power, there's no anointing on your life. It's in the secret place where you form that relationship with him, where you draw close to him. And it's in those secret places that God starts to deal with you, with attitudes in your heart, with attitudes in your life that need to be addressed. And if I stay in that secret place, when I come out into the public place, I've got something to carry because I've met with God. I have more authority. I can have more anointing. So people will listen. It's not just babbling words or vain words that I'm be speaking. So really that first point is really separating yourself to God. When I separate myself, I have to get rid of distractions. You know, back in the 80s when I became a Christian, the distractions were so far less than what we have now. We carry a phone around with us, and that's probably one of the worst distractions we can have to take into our prayer room. Now, I always use it as, well, I've got my Bible app on it. I need it for my Bible app. But it's very tempting at times when it beeps or there's a message that comes to stop praying, or better just check that, see what it is. So we have to get rid of distractions. We have to set ourselves aside. And I really, you know, I think it was Sloan the other week spoke about Martha and Mary. How Martha was distracted with all the external things, worrying about, was this going to be done? Was that going to be done? But Mary sought the feet of Jesus. Those things are always going to be needed to be done. But Mary chose the best place at the feet of Jesus. And the enemy will always come and try and bring things to your mind that you need to do. I need to do this. I need to, oh gosh, I forgot that. I better remember about this. So we need to get rid of the distractions in our lives to have a powerful prayer life. Have I made it? No, I'd still get distracted. I sometimes think about whether a sports team that I, did they win, did they not? Oh. And so, the next thing I would say is you need to be routined and disciplined. It's not something you can do, oh, look, I'm going to go and pray. Choose your time. For me, it's early in the morning. Other people, it's in the evening. You just find the best place for you. It could be if you're at home, you're a housewife, you've got time in the day to be able to do it when the children aren't at home. But find a time that suits you. And you have to be disciplined, because quite often your flesh gets in the way. Your flesh will say, oh, it's cold, it's dark, I don't want to get up, the bed's warm. I take inspiration from Daniel. In Daniel 6, verses 6 to 10. Now when Daniel, Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and I just clarify what's happening here. A lot of the rulers that King Darius had put under him, well, anyway, Daniel was really his head man. So there were others there were other administrators and satraps and other people. But they were jealous, very jealous of Daniel, and they're thinking, how can we stop Daniel? How can we get rid of Daniel, really, more than anything else? How can we get rid of Daniel? And so they came up with, hatched a plan that they said to King Darius, well, you king, that no one can pray for 30 days to any other god or person, but they can only pray about you or pray to you or talk to you or something like that. And so he signed it. Yes, he signed the decree. And Daniel knew that writing was signed. But he wasn't intimidated. He wasn't put off because of this. He still chose to go and pray. Now, if someone said to you, if you stop praying, we'll give you $1,000. what would you do? Well, so that's not really intimidation. No, that's... no, we could say, like, if you stop praying, if you don't stop praying, your power will be cut off for a week. Now, that's intimidation. Now, Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, so he had his windows open so he could be seen, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as it was his custom since his early days. So Daniel hadn't just been doing this. He'd been doing this for a long time. When he was very young, he always prayed to God three times a day, it says. That was his custom. Being consistent builds authority. So get into a routine. Put your flesh under and be disciplined. Another thing would be being persistent and earnest. You have to be persistent and you have to be earnest. Look, prayer is more than just asking God for the things I want. You know, it's not a shopping list. You know, God wants to bless us. And I think in my early days of my Christian walk, I was always wanting God to do things for me. Oh, God, could I have this? Oh, God, I want this. I need this. And everything was about me. But I think as you mature as Christians, your focus you take your focus off yourself and you start looking at other people. And so more of my prayer now is about others, interceding for others, interceding for the church. My focus is now off myself, but onto others. And part of that is not, and my prayer has changed from just an asking for things, but now I'm really fighting for things, for others. Because we battle not against flesh and blood, but we battle against principalities and powers. So if we're battling against principalities and powers, we have to pray with authority, with passion. We can't just pray just little prayers of bless me prayers. We've got to get in and we've got to fight the devil. Fight the strongholds. Because we all have strongholds around our lives, we've got to come against those things. Because the enemy will always try and restrict us, hem us in, stop us from moving out. It's taken me a number of years really to get through some of the strongholds or some of the areas where the enemy has restricted me. And it's generally been because of some words have been spoken. And those words become like strongholds in my life. I go so far, but they would restrict me back and stop me from moving forward. In 1 Kings 18:41, then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." So he went and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Meantime, Elijah was on his knees. So he was persistent. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up to say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, and go down before the rain stops you. In James 5, it says, 16:18, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. For Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. You know the word fervent? It means boiling hot, a glow in the spirit, having intense passion, heartfelt, earnest, powerful, and not just merely repetitive. There's passion, there's power. There's a fire within me. I'm going to get the answer. And gosh, time is flying. Another point is never giving up. Always pray and don't lose heart, even when answers are delayed. Having endurance and faith rather than quitting. And I won't go through this in Luke 18:1-8. You can look at the story of the unjust judge and the persistent widow, and who the judge said that if she keeps on coming, I'll be worn out. So he granted her request. We need to keep that spiritual fire alive. In Leviticus 6:12, and this is really the second point, keeping the spiritual fire alive. How do we do that? Because some days we don't feel like God's anywhere near us. It says, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning, and it shall not be put out. And the priests shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn it on the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on that altar, and it shall never go out. And that really needs to happen within our spirits. And I think sometimes the fire goes out. There's still some embers there. There's still embers there. We need to get the fire of the Spirit to blow on those embers, or some fuel to go on there. Fire needs fuel to keep it burning. So we have to put fuel in to get our fires to burn. How do we do that? We've just been talking about prayer. Prayer is really the essence that will keep us sustained and build us within our spirit. Praise and worship. When we come and worship and praise, we're sacrificing ourselves. We're sacrificing time to Him. We'll lift our hands up, surrendering, reading and speaking the Word of God, declaring the Word of God. God is always watching over His Word to perform what was spoken. So declare the Word, confess the Word, but read the Word, meditate on it. Attend church regularly. You can't be on fire if you're not in church. Belong to a connect group. Service and outreach. So if you're in church, serve. On outreach, share with your friends, share with your neighbors, share the gospel. You know, the times that I've shared with people and they've received Christ, is probably one of that stirs the fire in you. That really stirs the fire in you. They're open, they're ready. And it's like, man, that time is probably some of the best times I've had. Not so much regularly, but it has. I have had that, and that'll stir you up. And attend corporate prayer meetings. Now we're having so many There's so many prayer meetings we're having now. Attend them. It'll amplify your strength. You're being around others that are praying when you're down. But there'll be people there that'll be fired up. You'll get fired up being around about them. Keeping our fire for God alive requires more than enthusiasm. It requires sacrifice. And that sacrifice can be our time, our pride. It's laying ourselves down. It can be comfort. It's comfortable to be sitting and watching TV. It can be obedience. I remember a time there was an All Black game, and in those days you didn't get repeats or anything. It was live on TV. But I really felt God was telling me to go and pray. And there was a battle, you know, between my flesh and my spirit. I thought, oh, but I really wanted to watch that game. It was like, I think it was the All Blacks versus South Africa or something like that. So it was a pretty big game, and I really liked my rugby. But I went to the room and shut the door and just prayed. It took me a while because in my mind I was thinking, I wonder what the score would be. But I did that. It was out of obedience. I don't know what the breakthrough or what, but I think it was more the challenge from God to separate myself from something that I really wanted to do. I wanted to do myself. I wanted to watch this game myself. And God wanted to separate me. And the other thing is repentance and purity. You know, the days of compromising, I think, are over. You know, I've been challenged in so many areas probably over the last year or so. Just really in the area of compromise, it's very easy to compromise. Oh, it's not that bad. It's not really a sin, really. It's not really a thing, but it's... I want all of God. I want to meet God fully. And for that to happen, there has to be purity in my life. God is a holy God. So I have to keep a repentant heart. I don't want to hold on to bitterness. I don't want to lie. I want to be pleasing. I want to be that living sacrifice to Him. And we're getting close. Just going to finish with a couple of little things I want to finish with. This is a statement I read out of a book. Oh, no, actually, I saw it on Facebook. This was a statement Smith Wigglesworth said. Now, he was born in the 1800s. He was a plumber. He couldn't read or write, but his wife taught him to read the Bible. He couldn't preach because he had a stutter. But one day he got filled with the Holy Spirit and all things changed in his life. And he went on to have a great ministry, of a healing ministry. Very unusual, but how he dealt with infirmities. He'd punch people where the infirmity was and they would be healed. He said, "A believer who builds an unshakable prayer life becomes hell's nightmare and heaven's weapons. Prayer is not just communication, it's warfare, intimacy, and alignment. Stay consistent, stay pure, stay burning. When prayer becomes your breath, the enemy loses power over your life." And just finishing, But the third point, just walking in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8 it says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, I just want to briefly just share in closing just the experience that I had. As a young Christian, Angela and I both got saved together down in Wellington, New Zealand. We were on holiday down there. We came back and back to where we lived in Inglewood and Taranaki. And we were there probably for 3 months. We didn't go to any church. Then Angela's brother came up and wanted, he led us to the Lord, so he wanted to make sure that we were going to go on for the Lord. So he took us to a church. We got in that church. And the first thing, it was a small church, not a lot of people, but the first thing the pastor got up and said, "Can everyone start praying in tongues?" And I thought, wow. I remember just thinking, wow, this is different. Anyway, we went through the service. On the way home, we asked him, "Well, what was this praying in tongues about?" And he shared with us. He said, "You can receive the Holy Spirit." We sat around the dining room table in our house. And we just had lunch. He said, "Just hold hands." And we prayed. And he said, he prayed that we'd be baptized. And he said, "Start to speak out." So I started to speak out. Now my mind was saying, "You're just making this up. You're making this up. You're making this up." But anyway, they went, and you've received. So I thought, oh, I must try it again, see if it still works. So I started, that evening, I went again. And it was still there. And within a couple of weeks, those thoughts had gone that I'm making this up. And it went from praying for 5 minutes to being able to pray for an hour. The Holy Spirit helps us. He intercedes with us. When I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying directly to God. I can warfare in the Spirit. So this morning, I want to just, as we're closing, if you want to just put on some music, as we're closing, there's a couple of things I want to pray for. Just while every head is bowed right now, first thing, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, You've never asked him into your heart. You may have been in church. You may have read the Bible. But if you haven't asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you haven't surrendered to him, you need to. So if you just repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent your Son to this earth to die for me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I repent from my sin. I turn to you and I follow you the rest of my days. Amen. Just while every head's bowed, if that was you this morning, maybe also you may be away from the Lord, just put up your hand and I'll see it, and I'd love to pray for you after. Otherwise, we'll just move on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there's two other areas that I'd really sense we'll really want to pray for. One is that if you have not been filled with the Spirit, I really love to pray for you to receive that gift. It will revolutionize your prayer life. So that's one. And the second one, I was praying, was it Saturday or Friday, but I really felt that there's some people here that it's like you've got a blockage. It's like there's something that's there that's stopping you. You can go so far, but then it's like this thing, you don't want to go any further. It could be that someone's spoken a word over you, like me, and that word's just got in you. It's like a stronghold, and it's what you've done is you've built your life around that, so it protects you. So you're restricted. You can get so far. You feel like you're going so far, but you don't feel you can go any further. And I just really sense that God just wants to break that off you today, that there'd be a breakthrough in your life today, there'd be a breakthrough, that you would move forward. You would not allow this thing to hold you, to stop you any longer. So if that's you this morning, just as we're just closing now, and just love you to come to the front if you need prayer, if you want prayer for this. I just thank you, Lord. Let me just pray. Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your people this morning. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would visit your people, Lord. Father, Lord, that you would encounter them. Lord, that you would breathe upon them again, Lord. Those, Lord, that are, Lord, lukewarm, Lord, and they'd be on fire for you again, Lord God. Father, you'd remind them of things you've done in the past, Lord God. You would stir them up, Lord. That you would stir the hearts of people up this morning in this place, Lord. Father, stir us, Lord God, that we'd cry out for you more. Lord, that we'd cry out for you. Lord God, we're not satisfied. Lord, we want more of you, Lord. We want to make a difference, Lord, in this world, Lord, and our Lord, into the lives that we touch around about us. Oh, Lord, that you would have your way, God. You would have your way. Oh, Lord, let the fire of God fall in this place, Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Just release it now, Lord. Your fire, God, your fire. Oh, I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you. Oh, in Jesus' name.